The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Torah Way, Northwest London, Thursday, the 3rd of September, Yud Gimel Elul, Yud Dalet Elul, Dain Yeshua Posen, Nososov and Nosato Be'emuno.
Good morning. It's good to be back in person. Oh, Hashem. Beginning of this week's parasha, the Torah explains how a farmer, comes to Yerushalayim with his hard-earned bikurim, his prized possessions, the first fruits of his land, and he brings them to Beis Hamikdash and he gives them to the Kohen. And he makes a declaration. And the declaration which he makes goes as follows. As the Pasuk says, Vizu v'amarati lifnei Hashem elokecha, bi'arti ha-kodesh min habayis, v'gam nasati v'la-levi v'la-geh, la-yosrim v'la-mono, k'chol mitzoso ashes v'soni, v'yavarti mitzvisecha v'le-shechochti. He makes a declaration, and he says, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I've taken all the maestros, all the chumas, everything out of my house that I meant to have taken out. I've given everything I meant to give to the Kohen, to the Levi, to the Oni. I've fulfilled all my financial obligations. My affairs are in the clear. I have done exactly as the Torah has instructed me how to behave. I'm in Mela, Hashkifom, in my Kodshom, in Hashemayim, Mavorich, Es Amcha, Yisol, Es Yisol, Es Adoma, Shinosatel, Donuk, Hashed, Nishbat, Lavisinu, Eret, Zawas, Chol, Vodvash. In Mela, the Yid mongs Makach Baruch Hu. He calls in, so to speak, the Broch of Makach Baruch Hu, that because I have carried out my affairs completely as I was meant to, completely as you have requested, as you have commanded, therefore, I'm entitled to the brachas of Geshen, the brachas of Panosa, which you have in Mavtiach, you will give somebody who carries out the mitzvahs specifically with regards to how they handle their financial affairs. Mefarshim explained the musik of Bikurim. The musik of Bikurim is when you have a farmer who's working very hard on his ground, on his land. There are days when it's raining, there are days when it's sunny, when it's hot, when it's muddy, it's difficult. It's shvei avot. And there's certain ways, maybe, of producing the highest possible yields in the farm. And it could clearly get to a situation where the farmer might think, you know, I did a really good job this year. This year I really got it just right. I worked out the elements, I worked out how to farm, when to farm. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and says, you have to take the first peiros which come, and you have to give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to be makir, like we find many times in the Torah in various different areas, by Bikurim, by Bechor, by various different areas, that it's all a matana of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not be'etzem az, it's given to us as a matana, and it's given to us as a matana because and if we keep the Torah mitzvahs properly. Those of us in Chutzaret don't get an opportunity to do Bikurim, per se. We don't have the first peiros to Oretz in order to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be maki, that we recognize that our whole panosa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, this time of year, Elul, is a time of year when Be'etzem, a person is meant to stop and take check of various different things. And it wouldn't be such a bad idea if a person almost self-introspection, thought himself, can I say this with you? I've done kechor shetzivisicho, I've done exactly as you commanded, I can look at my financial dealings, and I'm 100% confident that everything is kedach shekedin. There's a subject I'd like to speak about, carefully, and I've never spoken about it before, in public, on record, upon him or online, for obvious reasons. But I think it comes a time when maybe one has to, and therefore one has to do it with care. But nevertheless, if this starts people giving shiurim about it and being ma'ira the nekuda, then there's nacharis on those people who are not being Ma'ir the Mekuzah, that afterwards people can say, we didn't know, we didn't realize, everybody does it, we thought it's fine, etc. Many times in Dinei Torah, we discover when parties come in front of us that a person can be living in their own dream world, in their own little bubble that they've created. And sometimes it might start with a little divergence one way or another from reality. But then it builds, and before you know it, this person is living in almost a parallel universe. And they've got lomdos and they've got chakiras and ganze shtiklech Torah to explain where they are, how they are, what they're doing, why they're doing. But they don't even realize how far they've moved from what the Torah requires from them. I think this is very well brought out by a halacha which came up, a shaila, an anonymous shaila, Baruch Hashem, which came up during COVID. It didn't only come up to me, and it didn't only come up to me once, and it came up to other Dayanim as well. So I think there comes a time when such a thing has to be spoken about. Reuben has a shaila as follows. Reuben and Shimon have a shaila as follows. Reuben has a company. Shimon would like to be employed. The reason why Shimon would like to be employed is because it's in his benefit that he should be employed. Reuben is happy to pay wages to Shimon. It's in his interest to be able to pay those wages. However, there is a understanding between Reuben and Shimon that Shimon is going to find a way of getting those wages back to Reuben. So Reuben has the advantage that he's got an added expense, which is a salary. Shimon has the advantage that he's getting paid a salary, which has other benefits in kind for Shimon. And so to speak, another day in town. Her Majesty's government, in their infinite kindness, comes along and sees that there's a situation in the country where it's a shasa kosher, people can't pay wages, people are going to have to fire their employees, and that's not a good situation all round. So they come up with a scheme called the furlough scheme, which is shortly, slowly coming to an end. And the scheme, as you all know, is that the government will pay 80% of the wages of anyone who is put on this furlough scheme. And being put on the furlough scheme means that they're no longer working for you because you haven't got work for them to do. Now, whether the other 20% then gets supplemented by the company, by the employer or not, is neither here nor there. So, Ayayoyim, Reuben sees a brilliant opportunity. He's got no work right now for Shimon, which is not really difficult because Shimon never really did very much work to begin with. So he puts Shimon on furlough in order to collect his 80%. That month, Reuben says to Shimon, by the way, you haven't yet given me back the wages which I've given you. And Shimon says, yeah, but why should I give it back to you? Because you followed me, so you've already got paid by the government, so why do I need to pay you? So Reuben says, what's that got to do with you? We have an understanding between the two of us. What I get from the government, none of your business before. Is everyone clear on the shaila as clearly as I can say it? Reuben is officially employing Shimon. Every month, he's paying a wage into Shimon's account. Shimon never steps foot into Reuben's office. Reuben has an advantage in this scenario. Shimon has an advantage in this scenario. But the wages are finding their way back to Reuben. Now, Reuben has furloughed Shimon. And therefore, the shaila is who gets the windfall of the 80% wages which are being paid by the government. And this is the shaila which was asked. To which the reply given, which wasn't received very well, Was effectively what you're asking is, we're both Ganovim, who's now got the right to the next Geneva? That's Etzem the Shaila. Sorry? No, hold on. So first of all, why they're both Ganovim, I hope everyone understands. I don't need to elaborate too much. Before we get to the furlough. Why this is a Maisa Geneva is because the furlough scheme is something which the government has come up with for Rachamim to help an employee in need from being fired because the boss can't afford to pay wages for someone who's not doing any work. So therefore, if you've got no work for this person, rather than you firing them, then we will give you the money out of our kindness or interest to make sure the economy doesn't collapse, whatever you want to call it. We will give you that money. That applies to a person who's actually genuinely being employed. If the person to begin with was never actually really employed, right, was never actually doing any work, was never actually any effort for the company whatsoever, and not only that, the wages which you were paying them, you were getting back. Right? So the whole thing doesn't begin. It mamish doesn't begin. Now, for somebody to ask a shiny like that is indicative of their mindset. That means that they are in their own little bubble, and it's all normal, and it's all kadasa kadin, and in every other area of Shulchan Aruch, Mestoma, they're going to be very, very makbid and machmir on a chumrah, on a etc., etc. This particular area, it's just a whole different world. Well, the reason why he's doing that is so that then it's in his benefit to do it. No, you get more benefits if you're making a certain wage, limited wage. I'm not here to give advice to people on how to benefit fraud. Just have to show them. Oh. Again, now. That's okay. I've always said, let's take it as it is, right? Now, Baruch Hashem. This scenario, this Metzius, is found time and time again in various different shapes and forms. You have, obviously, we've discussed many times before, the concept of a person having a property in someone else's name. So a child having a property in a parent's name. Sometimes that's just because the child wouldn't get a mortgage. Sometimes that's for other reasons why the child's not having a property in their name. And then, gag on that, are all sorts of shinas which then evolve. But they're evolving because a parallel universe has been created, and no one's actually stopping to analyze the ramifications of that universe. No one's actually stopping to understand what that means and how that means. So, for example, there you can have, as we mentioned many times, it is a rice of ribbis, every single month's payment. Because if the father takes out a mortgage on a property which is in his name, which is not really his, but really belongs to his child, and then every month that the child is making that payment, as we've discussed, not going into now, we've done it in length, is a derech of rivers. You can have situations where a person's nifta, Nachum Ever Estim, someone comes knocking on the door and say, I know I'm down as a tenant, but really it's my house and your father's doing me a tova. There was a famous case where there were four different people who came knocking on the door the morning after Shiva to say that, you know, my uncle, my cousin, whoever it is, who's the landlord, and I'm the tenant, he's Pasha just doing me a tova, but it's my house, you know it's my house. And Yashem haven't got a clue. There's nothing in writing, obviously, and no one's got a clue. So this whole bubble, now who's meant to work out what? You can have situations, there have been situations, where people own properties, put this property or this company into that child's name, this property or this company into the other child's name, or into the wife's name, into the child's name, without actually any thought whatsoever as to what they're actually doing. It's just they're using useful vehicles at the moment because it works out in their interest at the moment. And then all of a sudden, because we're not in control of life, everything comes to a standstill. And now, all of a sudden, this
Kol Halashon
child who happens to have £10 million in their name conveniently says, no, it's mine. Daddy gave it to me. I didn't know anything about it, but Daddy gave it to me. It's mine. And the siblings turn around and say, what are you talking about? It was in your name because you lived in this country or because I didn't live in that country or whatever the reason is. And now go and fight it out. And it rips apart the whole family. And Pasha, because this whole, forgive me for keep saying, parallel universe gets created without any thought whatsoever as to the ramifications, without any understanding of what the possible ramifications may be. You have a situation, Kuseza, where a person does a loan to another company, where they're going to get a return. Now, legally, it might be more tax efficient if it's structured as a loan. But if you ask them and say, no, it was an investment, but we called it a loan. Yeah, but if you call it a loan, and then you're taking a return on the money, then it could be rivers. So it depends on various different factors. Sometimes you can have something called a loan where it's really an investment. Sometimes you can have something called an investment where it's really a loan. But when something's called a loan on the document, if something's called a loan, and you turn around afterwards and say, I want my money, and the person who you lent it to says, no, it was an investment. You knew it was an investment, and therefore, unfortunately, the investment went bad, so I'm not mechayev to pay you. They'll turn and say, excuse me, they can go to court, lahavdil, and take out a shtar which says this was a loan. If this was a loan, you owe me the money. We all understood it, we didn't understand. No one's going to look at what you did or didn't understand. They're going to look at the shtar that's been signed between the two parties. What's the deal? The first thing that Allah pays is the terms and conditions which are signed between the two parties. So this kind of thing doesn't get thought bichlal. You have situations of people who manage property. They manage property on an understanding that they charge 10% of all costs involved in the property that they manage. So that means if there's maintenance that's required and they have to lay out money, they get 10%. If there's building work, they get 10%. If there's insurance that they're paying, they get their 10%. Whatever it might be. What they don't say sometimes is that, by the way, the insurance bill that I'm giving you is not actually the insurance bill that I'm paying. Because I happen to have a huge amount of properties that I bring to the insurance company, and for that, I get a much better rate. But if you would have gone yourself, you would have had to pay more. So I'm not charging you more than what you would have had to pay. So here, this is what I'm charging. This is the bill. If you remove all the storyline, if the person goes to Tesco, and I say, you're going to Tesco, do me a favor, can you pick me up a can of Coke? And the can of Coke in Tesco is normally a pound. I give him a pound, he goes to Tesco, and he actually, it's on sale, he pays 50 pence. He comes back, and he says, here's your can, he doesn't give me the 50 pence. Is that okay? And that's actually not a good moshul, because if I would have gone to Tesco, I also would have got it. Correct. However, the metzias of the deal between the two parties is I will pay you 10% of whatever the cost is. Now, if you want to renegotiate that deal, you can turn around and say, Hezekhaim, the going rate for management is 10%. I get you much cheaper utility bill. I can get you much cheaper. So because I'm going to get you much cheaper, I actually want to get 12%. Say that. You can negotiate that. If the other party must, then no problem at all. It's not negotiated. It's not spoken out because it's not the shmach. We've had scenarios in Beis Din when it transpires that builders have submitted invoices and been given back the invoices and asked, can you make this higher and we'll split the difference between us? So it's often a geneva. It's not, you don't, however big a London you are, whichever way you slice and dice it, it's geneva. And it's all in the guise of, everyone does it. This is necessary in order that I can have the car that my friends have. This is necessary because otherwise I'm not going to be able to go on the holiday I want to go on, etc., etc. So there's this rat race that goes on, and there's this pressure that builds, and there's this acceptable norm. I once said in a share a number of years ago, back in the days when people used to fly, that it was a gefer chazach that the more frum you looked at the time, this is about 10, 15 years ago, the more frum you look, the higher chance you get stopped when you go through customs. And that wasn't anti-Semitism. That was trial and error. So if it gets to a situation where the people doing the spot checks realize there's a higher chance of success in a certain profile, then they're going to go for that profile. So what does that mean? What does that mean about how we're going, where we're going, how we're evolving? There's a scheme at the moment where companies can borrow money. Companies at the moment can borrow large amounts of money in order to help them get up off the ground. The tachlis of that halvah is that you should borrow it to put into your company to help your company survive or to help your company grow. The tachlis of the halvah is not So you should borrow the money and then take it straight out of the company without any intention whatsoever of ever repaying it. Chazal tell us that the Yemei Mashiach, Mashiach is going to turn around and he's going to go to the Goyim and he's going to say, should I come? Our Klal Yisrael ready. And Chazal say, if Klal Yisrael are honest in their business dealing with the Goyim, then the Goyim will turn around and say, Ashreichem, magi alehem, they're entitled to Mashiach. But if Chas v'Shalom, the scenario is that the Shem that Klal Yisrael have amongst the Goyim is that we're dishonest, then the Goyim tell Mashiach. Mashiach asks direction from the Goyim, should I come or should I not come? And the Goyim tell Mashiach, they're not roy. Look how they conduct their business affairs. Last week's parasha we had the issa of mishkolos, the issa of having weights and measures which are not accurate, which are not 100% correct. Gemara Bava Basra daf peches amud beis. Amar Rav Levi, kosher einshon shel midos yoseh meinshon shel arois. The avera, the punishment that comes for somebody being over the avera of having measurements, weights, which are not 100% accurate, is worse than the avera which comes to a person who lo'leinu is over an arois. So I says, why? Elamayet for you, tohosam efshib b'tshuva, v'hochol lo efshib b'tshuva. You can't do tshuva. You can do tshuva on an avera ben odom lemokim because it's purely between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An avera which is an odom lechaveri, are you stolen from someone? They might not even know that you've stolen. You might not even know who they are, b'chalal. It's not shy of true, because how are you going to pay them back the money that you ripped them off when you don't know who to give money to and how to give money to? Chofetz Chaim says a story. At the time, Chofetz Chaim used to own a shop and he used to check meticulously, the measures, the weight, the scales were mamish, the stones which they used to use were mamish spot on. And he used to go around trying to mechazel the other shops. And he used to hear back from the goyim how choshev it is that his measurements are always okay, but unfortunately it's not always like that. And he went and said the following moshel. He said there was once a peasant. And the peasant used to work for an osher, for a wealthy man. And every day he used to bring the osher one sack, two sacks, three sacks of grain, which he used to collect it. And the osher would make a cheshbon with him. But this peasant was illiterate. He had no way of keeping cheshbon. He had no way of writing down anything. So he didn't know how he was going to keep track of where he is, because the osher didn't pay him every time. The osher paid him every week, every month, whatever it was. So they came out with a mahalach. The osher was going to give him a shiny stone, a shiny pebble. Every bag of grain that he brought, he would collect these specific type of pebbles, the ones, some ones which you could easily find. And then at the end of every week, every month, whenever the payment was due, he would come to the Osher with his bag of pebbles. The Osher would look at the bag and he'd pay him accordingly per pebble, he'd pay him for what that bag was worth. And that was the arrangement. But yeah, in one day, turns out that the Osher couldn't run out those pebbles. So what did he do? He gave him, put a kopek in place, a certain kopek, maybe put a mark on it or something. He put that coin in place of the pebble. These coins, these specific coins, were given as a replacement, a token, instead of the pebbles. This peasant sitting at home, he's trying to work out, where he's holding, and he tips out the bag, and he sees he's got these coins. He says, Gewaldig, if he takes a few of these coins, you can go down to the tavern and you can have a l'chaim. And the Osher will never chop. The Osher will chop, a few of these coins missing from here, I won't give them back to him, he won't chop. He takes the coins, he goes down, he has a good time, ah, what a Gewaldig Rayon he has. Comes to collect the status, and he's got less tokens, so he gets paid less. So he thinks in his little perspective that he's done a major oath to, he's gained up the shtick. maybe even call it a Yiddish shtick on the side. He's managed to achieve it, a Yiddish chap, right? We call it a chap, and it's not just stigma, right? Then that he's managed to achieve. And I heard him, and what he doesn't realize is he's ripped off himself. Hoshe ripped off himself. It says the Chofetz Chaim, even before we get to the Torah, if there's such a thing, before we get to the Torah, there's no such thing, but for Etzem, even before one thinks about the Torah, he's ripping off himself because reputationally wise, he's damaging his business. Hoshe, from a commercial point of view, it's not sensible. But the Torah state, this is worse than Arayis, the Torah state, L'man Yarichin Yomecho. In this week's parasha, we have this musik. That person has to be able to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be able to say, I've done everything I'm meant to have done with my money because I recognize it all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine the proportion, the percentages that a person has to give away from their field for tshumas, for maises, for all other halachos that applied, leket, shit, or peah, after all the hard work they've done, because you're a yid and you recognize that panosis makach baruch, and you recognize you will not lose and you cannot lose by carrying out your business affairs al pi halacha. Maybe in your kleinadikah perspective in the short term, you won't be able to go and have that l'chaim. But in the big picture, you cannot lose. So, we're standing here lifnei yom hadin. We're standing at a time of the world that's strange. We're definitely standing at a time when it's imperative on each and every one of us to maximize the opportunities that we can use to make a Kiddush Hashem with every single yid and goy that we come across. We need it to be, it used to be that a yid's word was his bond. You didn't even need to sign a contract. If he gave you his word, nothing to worry about. Shimon Schwab, many years ago, brought down that in the Webster's Dictionary, I think I mentioned this before, there's a under the word Jew. Jew is a noun, but Jew is also a verb. To Jew is used wrongly as an expression to rip someone off. Although it's in Webster's Dictionary back then, probably now we're much more politically correct. But says with Shimon Schwab, it's imperative on every one of us to make sure that to Jew means to be elich, to be honest. When people are looking and when people aren't looking. Vali Musa explained that we've got three different mitzvahs I say in the Torah where a person gets arichas yomim. There's only one lav where a person gets arichas yomim. And that's for having mishkodos which are correct. Why? Why is after this lav? Because this is a lav that relates to a person in how he conducts his financial affairs in a way that no one will ever know. No one is going to come in and measure your weight. You shave off a bit here, shave a bit there. No, you'll get away with it. And you'll make profit, and it'll be good, and you have all the reasons in the world why you've got bills to pay and everything else. There's the Torah. L'man yarichun yomecha. If you, when no one else is looking, make sure that to the pound and to the penny, the way you're dealing with other people is correct and just, that's something which is tachas zeicher tarichas yom.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.